familiar story. Luke, the 19th chapter. From verse 1 through to verse number 10. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And he reads, "He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see Jesus, who he was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, 'He has gone to be guest of a man who is a sinner.' And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.' Jesus said to him, 'Today, salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.'" This is the Word of God. Tonight, the topic I want to bring to your attention, Jesus is about to pass this way. Zacchaeus that we just read about was an outcast. In the eyes of the Jews, he was short in more ways than one. I could imagine them making a lot of short jokes about him. But somewhere along the way, Zacchaeus learned to compensate, to fight back. So he climbed the professional ladder. His ambition drove him to do anything, to step on anyone who got in his way. When we met Zacchaeus, he was standing at the top of the ladder. The Bible tells us that he was the chief tax collector in Jericho. To understand it, you must know that this man controlled the commerce in the business tourist capital of Palestine. But there was a price to pay. Zacchaeus was a traitor. He was an operative for the Romans and the Herodians. He had betrayed his people. He made himself rich on the backs of his fellow Jews. He was a sellout. Zacchaeus had power. He had wealth. He had privilege and he had prestige. But the real stature that he sought eluded him. Zacchaeus was friendless. I believe that when Zacchaeus walked down the streets, nobody asked him, "How are you doing? How is your wife and family?" Nobody said hello. They hated him.
No one invited him to dinner or a, you know, a good game of domino. But today in the life of Zacchaeus was a different day. This day Jesus was about to pass his way. And somehow the opinion of the people around him didn't seem to bother him. He appeared preoccupied. Zacchaeus had heard that Jesus was in town. And so they were even saying that Jesus was the promised Messiah. He was the King of the Jews. This Jesus, to Zacchaeus' surprise, is known for drinking and eating with tax collectors, you know, and sinners. This was a great day for a sinner. This Jesus was no ordinary Jew. He was no respecter of person. And as Zacchaeus had heard, no doubt, how this Jesus completely changed the life of Matthew, another tax man from Capernaum. Zacchaeus had heard that Levi, you know, had given up everything for not a higher wages, but for no wages at all. No doubt he contemplated, how could somebody walk away from something so lucrative to follow a penniless rabbi? And so he wanted to see Jesus. He had a challenge, however, and I want us to understand that, you know, you can always get around the crowd if you really want to see Jesus. You see, you need to get away from the obstacles and find a way to see him. Because when you stand before him, you can't blame anyone. Well, it was the preacher. He didn't like me, and I didn't like him. Well, that won't work. You need to find a way to see Jesus. And so Zacchaeus knew that the crowd would be a challenge for him. So he climbed a sycamore tree. He wanted to have a better look at Jesus. Do you want to see him tonight? He's about to pass this way. And when he climbed the tree, then Jesus was right there. Listen carefully. Eyes met eyes. I believe that Zacchaeus' sin caused him to begin to sweat. The ledger sheet was unbalanced. Money stolen, money extorted from the Jewish brethren, profits skimmed off the top, money robbed from God in the tithes and the free will offering. Zacchaeus came face to face with Jesus, and he saw who he really was, that he was a sinner in the sight of God. You see, money and material things was everything for Zacchaeus. He was rich, but his life was bankrupt. Although he had everything he needed, his life was bankrupt. When Jesus walked into Zacchaeus' life, he wasn't looking for an audit. Jesus was looking for a sinner, for the lost. Jesus was looking for a soul to save. He was looking for someone that he could go home with. He was looking for someone who would open the door of their heart and receive him in their life. Luke chapter 19, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, and Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. In John 3 and verse number 17, the Bible says, for God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Tonight, brethren and friends, salvation has come to your house. to your heart. But you have to make haste and come down. You need to come down from the tree of sinfulness. Are you with me? You have to come down from the tree of pride and hypocrisy. You have to come down from the tree of self-will and give yourself to Jesus, because He wants to come home with you. There are some things that are required for this salvation to be possible as Jesus passed this way. First of all, to receive salvation, we must see ourselves as we really are. People who will be saved must first of all see themselves as short and inadequate sinners. Are you with me? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says all of us are sinners, and the wages of sin is death. We have to see ourselves as inadequate in the sight of God to receive the salvation brought by Jesus. We cannot be saved in our pride and arrogance. In fact, the proud and the arrogant have a problem seeing Jesus. The Bible tells us that we must humble ourselves before God. It is amazing how the Holy Spirit inspired two writers of the New Testament to write the same thing. In James, chapter 6, verse 6 and verse 10. James chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 10. The Bible says, but He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Well, it wasn't enough. God wants us to understand how serious He is in terms of wanting to save us. And He says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, the Bible says, God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hands of God, that at the proper time He will exalt you. In order for us to be exalted, we have to get down from that tree. I don't know what tree you're in tonight, but in order for you to go or travel with Jesus and receive salvation, you have to get down. Isaiah went into the temple. He went into the temple to consult God, and the presence of God filled the room. The foundation of the temple, the Bible tells us, began to shake, and Isaiah fell on his face. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible tells us that in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on His throne, high and lofty, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it, seraphim. Each had six wings, and two with two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. If we will not recognize God as holy, then we will not see ourselves as we are. The whole earth is full of His glory. Verse 4, and the posts of the door were shaken. The posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Isaiah, in the presence of this holy God, recognized himself as who he was. And he says, woe is me, for I am lost, or I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah said that when I saw the King, I indeed see myself. I see God and I see myself for who I am. Zacchaeus saw Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, when he met Jesus, when he invited Jesus in his house, he had to repent. One song said, you can't come in in contact with Jesus and still remain the same. In the presence of God, we can only see ourselves as we are, sinners in need of salvation. And Isaiah humbled himself, and like him, we must do the same. Like Zacchaeus, we must come down from the tree of pride and receive Jesus into our house and into our hearts. The reason Jesus came was to save us. All of us. I repeat that. The reason he came was to save us. All of us. God loved the world and he gave his son. The angel said to Joseph in Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, she will bear a son. And you shall call his name what? Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. The purpose for his coming was to save us. John chapter 12, verse 27. Now Jesus says, my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It is for this very reason I came this hour. Why did you come, Jesus? Well, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The reason for Jesus coming in the world is to save us. You see, Christ in the world was a demonstration of God's love and God's desire to save us, to save all of us. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through to verse number 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God demonstrates or shows his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. All of us. That's the reason he came. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and let's begin reading at verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 2, and when we look at this, we will see ourselves. And the Bible tells us, and you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But I love verse number 4, and it says, but God. You see, when we are traveling the unrighteous path and God intervenes, it makes a difference. But God, the Bible says, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, he made us alive together with Christ by grace. Not of work that we have done. By grace, you are saved. The Bible tells us that it is by his grace that he saved us and placed us with Christ in a heavenly place. He placed us with Christ higher than we were. The Bible tells us that if we humble ourselves, God will exalt us in due time. When we humble ourselves and receive Jesus in our lives and in our hearts through obedience, God will place us in heavenly place. For by grace you have been saved. It's not of any work that we have done. God is not willing that any should perish. For the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus Christ went into Zacchaeus' house, even though it was the unpopular thing to do. Because Jesus wanted to save a sinner. I am convinced that he wants to save you tonight. And Jesus is about to pass this way. God's desire is for all men to be saved and come to know the truth. And the Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We need to understand this, that we must humble ourselves before we can receive salvation. Because this salvation came through humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man. Watch this. He humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You remember when he was in the garden and he was praying and it was too much for him to bear from a human standpoint. He went to his father and he prayed 3 times that God would take this cup from him. Well, God said no. But in that prayer, Jesus said, nevertheless, it's not my will, but your will be done. Throughout his ministry, he has always been saying that I come to do the will of my Father, and God's will is for all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And he went to the cross. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. Although he was a son, so he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author or the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. We can only see Jesus from the position of humility. And humility is obedience. But to receive salvation, we must be willing to obey. In the story of Zacchaeus, Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. In other words, make haste. And he obeyed. Because verse 6 tells us, so he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. I want to stop here just to announce to you, this was the first time Zacchaeus was seeing Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Never seen him before. And he said to him, come down. How many times have you, how long has it been since Jesus been calling you? How long? How many times? One time Jesus said to Zacchaeus, come down. And the Bible says, be hurried. Me it is. You remember those on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says, and those who gladly received his word were baptized. When they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? They gladly received his word. Zacchaeus hurried and came down and received Jesus with joy. Some people say it's like a burden to receive Christ or to do what he says. Have you ever noticed, brethren, that whenever God speaks to us, God's word literally have a lot of promises, filled with promises, all kinds of promises. Every time God speaks to us, it's a promise. Promise that we can have only if we obey. Well, he said this to Adam and Eve. Obey my words and you will live in this garden paradise forever. He told Noah, build an ark and you will save yourself and your family. It happened. He promised Abraham, leave Ur of the Chaldees, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless the world through you. He said to the children of Israel, I will give you the promised land. And he did. Well, Jesus says to us, come unto me, all ye that labors and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said to Zacchaeus, come down, and I will come to your house today. Hear what he says, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. To those who overcome, Jesus said, I will give you a crown of life. But in order to receive the promises of God, we must obey. To access salvation, we must be obedient to the word of God. I want to ask you tonight, do you really want to be forgiven of your sins? Do you really want salvation? Well, you have to obey. Do you really want to go to heaven? You have to obey. The message in the Bible, throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is all about this. Receiving salvation and living with God forever. That's the message. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation for all who obey him. He's passing this way. And you can have a salvation tonight. Do you want him to come to your house, into your heart tonight? Then you must come down from where you are and obey him, because he's calling you. But then we need to understand this, that this salvation that he brought demands that we take him home with us. Too often, Brother Mitchell, members leave Jesus at the church building. We need to take him on our business deals. Careful. We need to take him in our marriage and in our home life. We need to take him when we are choosing what is going to entertain us. We need to take him when we are going internet surfing. Hello. We must take Jesus with us. Everywhere we go, he must be a part of our life. But what does it mean to take Jesus with us? It means to walk like he walked. To have the heart and the attitude, the mind, the disposition, the behavior that he has. The Bible tells us, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. We need people today with the mind of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to take Jesus home. God makes his home not in the church building. You know, too often we think that the bricks and the window, they are holy. God, the Bible says, doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, but in human hearts. You need to open the door of your heart and welcome Jesus. Invite him in everything we do. In everything we are, and I pray in everything that we have. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Behold, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and I will eat with him and he with me. Jesus wants to have fellowship with you. But you have to open that door. We must open the door to invite Jesus. But we must also open our eyes and our hearts to others. In Luke 19 and verse number 7, the Bible tells us that when they saw it, they all grumbled, he has gone to be guest of a man who is a sinner. When people witnessed Jesus going into Zacchaeus' house, they murmured and they complained. Some didn't appreciate how Jesus could go and eat with a cheating tax collector. All some saw was one sinner going to another sinner. But we must not complain, brethren, about God's forgiveness. Are you with me? If God is willing to forgive, we too must be willing to forgive. That includes individuals who have ripped you off and cheated you out of business. It means you must also forgive friends who betrayed you, spouse who have been unfaithful, even the boss who fired you, and yes, the politicians that lied to you. We as children of God must be willing to be forgiven like Jesus. When Zacchaeus received Jesus in his house, his attitude towards others changed immediately. When you receive Jesus, and I trust you'll receive him tonight if you have not, that your attitude towards others will change. Look at verse number 8. Zacchaeus stood and he said, Lord, behold, behalf my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. According to the law, a confessed thief was supposed to give back twofold. Zacchaeus, after meeting Jesus, went further. I believe that as Christians living in this century, we must be better than those in the Old Testament. In fact, we must be better than others. God called us to a better life. We must do better, and we must be able to, people must be able to trust us, Brother Mitchell. When Zacchaeus received Jesus in his house. He realized that if he had taken anything through dishonest means, that he couldn't keep it. I told you that when we dealt with repentance earlier this week. That you can't repent and still have what you have stolen. You have to restore it. Repentance is a total or a complete change. Zacchaeus recognized that having Jesus in his house demands change. He said, Lord, I will give and I will restore. Having Jesus in our house, in our heart, means that we can't be the same people that we were. We have to be different. Repentance is not just to stop sinning. It is turning from doing what is evil and now start doing what is good. That's what Jesus Christ is calling us to. And finally, tonight, receiving Jesus into our house, into our heart, is to receive salvation. I want you to note verse number 9. Jesus is the personification of salvation. He went to Zacchaeus' house and he said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Jesus Christ brought salvation, and when we receive him, we receive salvation. Because without him, there is no salvation. Peter declared, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is through Christ, by Christ, in Christ, and him alone. And Zacchaeus received him and thus received salvation. Jesus didn't just go to Zacchaeus' house to have a meal. He went to live in his heart. Jesus, I tell you tonight, is not about to force his way into your life. He will definitely not break down the door. But I guarantee that he will knock. He will knock. And he will wait for you to respond. And if you open the door, he says, then I will come in. Jesus Christ is passing this way. Do you hear him? Do you see him? Open the eyes of your heart and see him. Open your ears, because the door to your heart is through your eyes or your ears. If you open your eyes and your ears, you will see him. You will hear him. And he's knocking on the door of your heart tonight. The question is, how will you respond? Will you pretend as if you're not hearing, can't hear? Or will you just open the door and invite Jesus to come in? As far as they were concerned, Zacchaeus was the worst sinner. And this tells me that Jesus can save anyone. And Jesus wasn't about to follow the crowd and the opinion of the crowd and ignore Zacchaeus like we do often. He went to a sinner, brought salvation, and it changed his life. If Zacchaeus became a Christian, I believe that how people saw him afterward would be different. He would have acted differently. And if he followed through on what he said to Jesus, then people would start to call to him on the street. They would maybe invite him in and stop those short jokes. Zacchaeus received Jesus. And it changed his life. He was, as far as the Jews were concerned, the worst sinner. But the worst sinner can still have salvation. My Bible tells me, your Bible says, that where sin is, grace abounds much more. You can't have so much sin that grace can't save you. And Paul, as I mentioned, talked about the grace that outweighs the sin. And he could say, and he said to the Christian, don't think of one that we should understand that God's grace is the heart. We were satisfied to live in the heart of the sin. We were very inspired to a new life. We were raised to a new life. We killed the old life. If you're here tonight, and this is your first encounter with Jesus, then you can still be saved. Zacchaeus' first encounter saved him, brought salvation to his house, and blessed some poor people, and restored some things to those he had defrauded. It changed his life. And his changed life affected the lives of others. Tonight, you can be saved. Jesus is willing to save you. He's standing at your door. He's standing under the tree that you're on. And he's saying to you, come down. It's amazing, Brother Mitchell, that some people will gladly receive your one sermon, 3,000 souls. 3,000 sermons, not even one. People are afraid to just give their life to the Lord. But you don't have to be afraid tonight. You don't have to be ashamed. You can come to him. Come to him tonight. And allow him to transform your life. Anytime you have an encounter with Jesus, automatically you're going to repent. You're going to change. Jesus didn't say anything at all to Zacchaeus, but just come down. And Zacchaeus recognized that he had to change if he was going to stay in the presence of Jesus. All you have to do tonight, if you have not yet obeyed the gospel, believe his word. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And be baptized in water. Don't let them fool you and tell you that you can just wave your hand and say the sinner's prayer. Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. When I stand in the judgment, I will be judged by what Jesus says. So will you come tonight? If you're here tonight, and you realize that as a Christian, your life is not in keeping with the will of God, it's time to change. Make a choice tonight. Come down off that tree and allow Jesus to come into your heart. We're going to stand together. 553.